Well, we've been talking about the authority of the believer. Jesus is Lord. I know some people don't like this kind of message. I don't like this kind of message. Until you start to see what comes of it. It's the fruit of it. I mean, repentance doesn't sound like a good message either, does it? Repent! Ooh. But it's actually good news. It's the beginning of good news. You can turn away from what you've been doing wrong, start doing what is right, and then you get blessed by it, right? That's why he says repent. Well, God just wants to grind your nose in it. No, he doesn't. He wants to give you something good. So when we're talking about authority and submission and all these other things that I've been talking about, why? Is God wanting to grind your nose in it? No, that's right. He wants to get a blessing to you that you can't have some other way. But you can have it, and all you got to do is go in the way that God says to go. Remember Jesus telling Peter, when you get older, you're going to have to go. Right now, you go where you want to go. But when you get older, you're going to have somebody else leading you and going where he tells you to go. What is that? He's going to have to submit to somebody else. I hope you guys are ready for this. And like I said, I hope I'm ready for it too. Father, in Jesus' name, we open your word with reverence. We ask to see what you have for us in your word today. I ask to see, and I ask that these people's ears would be open, and their spirit man would drink up your word like a sponge. Let them grow. Let them become all that you have for them in the earth today. I feel the Spirit of the Lord is saying there are great and mighty things waiting for you. He has plans for you. He has purposes for you that you haven't even seen yet, but they're big plans. And as you yield to the Spirit of grace, you will enter into those and be changed by that same Spirit. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, Luke chapter 7 and verse 1. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and was ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy of whom he should do this. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Huh. So he had some money too, I would imagine. I don't imagine synagogues were cheap back then. I don't know. Could you go to get them at Synagogues R Us and pick up two or three of them? No. You had to put some effort into it. And Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Verse 8, for I also am a man set under authority, having soldiers under me. Everybody say, I also am a man set under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say unto one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. So here's Jesus commending this man that he didn't find anybody with so great faith as this man who knew what? He knew authority, he knew placement, and he knew rank. He said, I'm a man set under authority, and I have soldiers under me, and I say to them, go, and they go. Why do they go? Because he's a man set under authority. What if he wasn't a man set under authority? Then there would be no servants under him. And we've gone a long ways down this road on the last past messages. But this is so huge and it's so important. It just keeps growing and growing that we've had this flip-flop the wrong way. We've had it, oh, I'm in authority, I'm in authority, I'm in authority, I'm in authority. No, it should be, I'm under authority. And it's the power of the authority that you are submitted under that causes those servants to do what they're supposed to do. And I said this before, what if I came in here under the office of the president, I was speaking for the president, and you were all people that worked for the Department of Homeland Security or whatever it was. And I said, well, the president told me to come here and tell you, make sure your doors are all locked this evening, or whatever it was. Why would you do what I said? Because I'm under authority. Does that make sense? I really shouldn't have to go any farther than that because we've been down this trail many times, but that's the point. The reason that the servants do what you tell them to do is because you're under authority, and we're going to see this really big today. Everybody say really big. And is this bad news? No, this is good news because we want to see our authority increase, don't we? In a big way. Well, if we do it God's way, will it increase in a big way? Oh, absolutely. Who are we submitting to? We're submitting to God. We're submitting to His Word. We're submitting to His ways. And then we will have His authority. You can be riding around in a big old black car with the bulletproof glass. Because they're cool. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13:17. I'm going to try to go through these quickly because I got about five scriptures to get to before I really am going to hit on what I really want to talk about today. But it's called building the foundation. You ever read a book where it takes like half the book just to introduce all the characters? Then they finally tell the story and the story lasts for like a chapter. But it took so long to get. But you know, the church is in disarray. It's not in the place it's supposed to be. Do you think God wants to crank the power up in this day? Oh, absolutely. So what does He have to do? He's got to get His church, get His house in order. Has anyone ever heard that before? Is there order in the house of God? Is there structure and order in the way God has set up things? Oh, yeah. What do you think, Kevin's just chaos? Well, I don't know how that got over here. I'm telling you, every single angel knows where their position is, what their job is. They know who they're under. They know who they're over. They're not proud over it. What, are they all lifted up in pride? Are you kidding? There is no pride in heaven. If there was, they'd get kicked out, wouldn't they? It's flip-flopped. People that are over you, they're over you so they can help you. That's why they're over you. It's not lording over. It's they become responsible for that. Let's read this. I think I'm getting into what I was supposed to read here. Hebrews 13. Glory be to God forever. I'm going to hire me one of them page turners. They must have those at Page Turners R Us. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you. Look at this, it says, obey them that have the rule, and I brought this out last week, that it means has the leadership, they're leading you in a certain direction. Not that they're dominating you and telling you what shoes to wear and all this other stuff. And this has been carried on in the body of Christ to an extreme degree, and it's ridiculous. You must all now buy gas where I tell you to buy gas. You must all paint your car that pretty pink. Like, what's that late? What is that? Mary Kay. You must all, you know, shave your head. Even the women. No. Slink. But, you know, there was a time in the shepherding movement where it was that. You had to, because they took this to the extreme, they took it the wrong way. You would think if they were going to lift up this part of Scripture, they would have understood what he was talking about, but they didn't. They thought that people actually had authority over other people and could tell them what to do. This, look at, does it say submit yourself? Every time it says submit, it's submit yourself for your own benefit. You think it would benefit if you worked for the office of the president? You think it would benefit you to submit yourself to what he wanted to do? Absolutely. You keep doing that, he's going to promote you. It's for your benefit. Do you know there's people that work for the president that make more money than he does? Lots of them. His wage is capped. It's a good wage, and he gets to live in a nice house. It's white. But there's people that work for him that make a whole lot more money than he does. You getting this? What are you saying, brother? You're supposed to make more money than me? Yeah. You're supposed to make way more money than I am. But you should be benefiting by some of the anointing that's in the office. Whatever. That's way, way too far ahead. Anyway, hang on here. Did I read that? Obey them that have the rule over you, because they are to dominate you and tell you what to do in every area of your life. What toothpaste to buy and how to brush your teeth, only in left-sided strokes. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. What do you think about this? You're supposed to be submitting yourself because somebody's got to give an account for you. Somebody has to give an account for me. If there was no submission, if people didn't have this type of responsibility, then why would it say this, that people are going to have to give an account? Wouldn't that stink? You get up to heaven and God says, what did you do with these people? What did you do with your family? So I didn't know I was responsible for them. They're old enough, they can do what they want. Blah, blah, blah. You going to say that to God? I don't think so. They watch for your souls. They must give an account. How come some of you that are this word, that are in submission, but are considering this their church home and me their pastor? Why is it when you do something wrong, I get chewed out for it? Do you know that? So stop it. Now think about this. With the responsibility has to come some type of authority. It has to. Like, you can't come into my house and name my cats and my daughter. Alan comes over to the house and says, here, Fuzzy Ball. No, his name's not Fuzzy Ball. His name's Bagheera. He goes, nope, I'm changing his name. Fuzzy Ball. That's it. From now on, you shall be called Fuzzy Ball. And your daughter? Maria. Now, do you have any authority to do that? Do I have any authority to come in and change the name of your kids? What goes with the authority, though? Now, you do have authority and responsibility for your kids. You can name them. You feed them. What if you don't? The 25 cats that live in your house, if you stop feeding them, what happens to you? Pretty soon, the law comes along, right? Because you haven't taken up your responsibility. You have authority to feed them, but if you stop doing that, what happens? You get called on the carpet. Do you know there's people here that I have authority in the Spirit to pray for? Now, do you remember the centurion? Who went to bat for the servant? The servant was about ready to die, wasn't he? He was about ready to die. Matter of fact, he was ready to die. I've had enough. What the centurion, the one who had responsibility and authority over him, what did he do? He went to bat for him. He went and found Jesus. He went and prayed the prayer that got the servant healed. Could he do that for any servant? No. He was a man set under authority, having soldiers under him. He could name them, he could tell them where to go, and they would go. He would tell them what to do, and they would do. Did that servant benefit from being under the authority? Absolutely. I hope I'm getting this across. What I was going to say is certain of you, I can pray with authority for. Because you've called me your pastor and you say, hey, I'm going to submit under this. And so that gives me the authority. Submit yourself. It's the same way I have authority to pray for my wife and my daughter in my family. Is this making sense? Is it so I can lord over them?
Why, yes, it is, brother.
No. It's for their benefit. I hope you're getting this. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. I have to give an account. In fact, that's one thing God spoke to me very clearly about my daughter when we started homeschooling her. Believe me, I was not into homeschooling. I'm against homeschooling. I could write papers on why you shouldn't homeschool your kid.
Well, if you take out all the kids, all the good kids out of the school, you're taking the salt out of the earth, then the school's just going to go to hell.
That, if you ask me, that's what I believe. But when I'm sitting there and God says, and points his finger at me and says, I'm going to hold you responsible for the spiritual gifts that are in here, in her. And with that message came, oh, look what's going to happen here. He's holding me responsible. So sit up straight. Doesn't that sound just like what we read here? As they that must give an account. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. Your kids, they wind up all weird, you know, and believe me, I'm not judging anybody, okay? We're all coming into this in different levels. But you don't want to do it with grief, do you?
No.
Jesus, I'm sorry, but they're all messed up. I don't know what I did wrong. Right? That's grief. You're giving me grief. All right. For that is unprofitable for you. For who? The person that's not submitting, that's not in order, that's outside of that, then they're not benefiting from the anointing and the authority that's over them. Oh, glory be to God. But there was benefits. Obviously, the centurion was a rich man, wasn't he? I've worked for rich people before. I've mowed lawns for rich people. It's one of the things I did when I met Sharon. I was like being a groundskeeper. I was on this multi-million dollar property more than the people who owned it. Swimming in their pool. Sniffing their flowers. Going in and out their big gated door down at the big, you know. Hoping the neighbors saw me. I'm going in. I know. I'm coming out. This one guy had a pool shaped like a ship. I don't think he ever swam in it, but I did every time I got hot. He was off working, making money. But I was the servant. I realized I wasn't under that title of servant, but I was just, you know, I don't remember what they called me.
Lawn boy.
You know, at that point, I didn't care what they called me because I was enjoying myself. I'll be right there after I sip my drink with my pretty flower thing in it. No. All right. What was I talking about? Hallelujah. There's benefits. There's benefits to being under. Isn't there? Do you have to make every decision? I think women should actually get a kick out of that. They come up to a, you know, women that are married, when they come up to something, they don't know what to do, and they go, hey. They can just pull their hands up in the air. Hey, well, that's your, you make that decision. Right? Hallelujah. There's benefits. And do you want the am I reading this?
Yes.
And they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So what's God trying to do? He's trying to get profit over to you. This is God's bent on this. Everything he does is to get profit over to you. All right, let's continue on here. I don't want to take up too much time. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, and all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. I just want to just say one thing here. Because I've heard this before, that people say, well, we should just submit one to another. Well, this doesn't make any sense if it's just submit one to another. You submit to me and I submit to you, right? The wife submit to the husband submit to the wife, and we're all submit to one another. I love you with the love of the Lord. What did he just say here? The younger submit to the elder. He also said before that you're supposed to submit to those who have the leadership over you. So you have structure. That's what I want to point out here. When he's saying submit one to another, he's saying submit to each other in the order in which you're put in. Why? So things function well. Otherwise, it gets all weird.
Well, I'm submitting to you, and you're submitting to me, and we're all submitting to one another. We're just one big blob.
You could call us the big blob Uzi church that ate Chicago. Likewise, younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another in the order. So you're going to have to submit yourself. You're going to have to see where you fit and start to learn to submit and subject yourself. Right? Because in that order is where you're going to benefit and prosper, and then God can increase it in other ways. But this doesn't just end right here. Why do you think God's saying this? Just to grind your nose in? No, it's because he wants to get a greater authority to you. He wants to get a greater benefit to you. Y'all on the same page? All right. Then I won't stress on that too much more here. Go with me to Romans 13. Verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the what? The higher powers. Does this make sense? All right, we're submitting ourselves to those who are in more authority. So children, what does the Bible say? Children, obey your parents. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. We're going to go there in a minute. Right? So in the body of Christ, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So you're following Paul, who's following Christ. And then he said about people that he'd set up, Timothy and other people that he'd set up in the churches. He said to obey them because they're obeying Paul, because they're obeying Christ. Right? There's authority and structure. This isn't rocket science, but it is a way where he's saying right here, let everyone, soul, be subject unto the higher powers. Now, this isn't to give anybody great dominion over anybody else. It's so that we can see how we're supposed to function correctly and therefore have greater results in the earth. If we could fit this together and win thousands of people to the Lord and have great manifestations of the Holy Ghost and healing power and supernatural manifestations in our finances and all this other stuff, would it be worth it? Yes, it would be worth it. And it's going to happen because we're committed to do whatever the Word tells us to do. Hallelujah. It's going to get good. Everybody say, this is going to get good. Ephesians 5, 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the what? The fear of God. So, now, is this just submitting one to another? Just submitting one to another because I submit to you and you submit to me and we all submit to each other? Just hold hands in a circle. This is communism, Christian communism. We're all the same. We're all equal. The Bible says that in the new heavens, we're going to shine differing like the stars. Do all the stars shine the same way? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Verse 22, you were hoping I wasn't going to go there. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto what? As unto the Lord. Why are you doing this? Because your husband's so wonderful. He's such a beautiful man. He's so well groomed. And he always smells nice. So submit yourself to your husband. No, as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Why are you doing this? As unto the Lord. Why? You're submitting yourself to the Lord. You're submitting yourself to the structure which he put and set and established. 1 Corinthians 11:10, I do know there's a whole lot more in those scriptures there, but like I said, I'm trying to get you up to a place here. 1 Corinthians 11:10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head. Power on her head, what means what? Authority. For this cause, if the Bible tells you there's a cause for a woman to be in subjection to her husband, don't you think you'd listen to it? He said, for her to submit to the husband as unto the Lord. Then he says, for this cause, he wants you to do this. And that's a wonderful word there that says power. It also means glory. For this glory, the woman submits to the husband. It's a glory. Why? Because she partakes of everything the husband has. Hallelujah. For this cause, everybody say, for this cause. Ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Everybody say, because of the angels. Well, that's just weird, brother. I don't understand. Well, you're going to in a minute. For this cause ought the woman to be in subjection to her husband because of the angels. Now, why? Do you think the angels have any idea about authority and structure? What if a woman's not in subjection to her husband as unto the Lord? What are the angels going to do? Are they going to listen to what's going on? Their hands are tied. Do you want the angels on your side? Do you want the kingdom of God on your side? Do you want the servants to obey you? And I realize when you start talking about authority of the believer, we're always, oh, authority over the devil. Yes, you are. It's all about the devil. Devil, 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 devil. Well, they're not your servants. Is the devil your servant? No, the angels are. Are you starting to see this? When we submit ourselves to the proper authority and alignment that God has set up, and we're submitted to Him, we have authority over us. I am a man set under authority, having soldiers under me. They obey me because I'm in line with the authority that's over me. Because of the angels. Why do I have to submit myself to my husband? Because of the angels. And you want the angels, if your husband is not being right, you want the angels to be on his butt. 24 hours a day, shaking his bed, and they will. If you are in alignment. Right? Gretchen, do you see that? See what? There's a big man standing on the end of the bed. With a sword drawn. I think I better repent. Yes, you better. Hallelujah. For this cause, is that in your Bible? Yeah. All right. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. And I'll just bring this out. Isn't this the reason then we should be in the proper alignment in the body of Christ? It's because of the servants that are under us, the angels. They respect and understand authority. Do you know how many things have been brought about by the administration of angels? The Bible said the whole Old Testament, the Old Covenant was brought about by the angels. Well, I didn't see them there. No kidding. You don't see them all the time. But they're God's messengers. They're God's servants. What about Joseph and Mary? What appeared to them? An angel. How are the miraculous things going to take place in your life? Angels. God says a word, He speaks a word, they come and they do it. What if you're not in authority, under authority? Are they going to do it? No, because of the angels. This is why we do this. It's benefit. All right. Glory be to God forever. You guys excited about this? I really am. Jude 1. Jesus is Lord. Jude 1. There is only one in Jude. Hallelujah. Go to Jude chapter 1. And verse 8. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. We're talking about people that despise dominion. Dominion meaning authority. They don't like anybody being in authority over them. Bible calls them filthy. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. They despise dominion and speak evil of dignitaries. You see the type of person he's talking about? People that don't want anybody to tell them to do anything. I'm my own person. Where are they? They're so outside of authority. You think angels are working for them? Not at all. They're against them. The Bible says God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. How's that grace come? Through angels. If we could see all the things that happen because of angels, God says his word, they hearken to the voice of his word. They excel in strength, hearkening to the voice of his word. And then they do things for you. Is that a benefit? Oh, yeah. Is it going to happen if you're outside of authority? What if you despise authority? I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I'm my own man. I'm an American. I can shop where I want to shop, go where I want to go, do what I want to do. You may. But this is church, okay? The whole of the gospel is submitting yourself to the lordship of Jesus. This is the way he's structuring things for your benefit. Hallelujah. I didn't even read all of that. They despise dominion. They speak evil of dignitaries. Verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel. What is archangel? It means he's the top angel. Well, if there's a top angel, is there a bottom angel? There must be. Okay? You got angels that wish they were Michael. Except when it comes time for Michael to receive his judgment, of course. And they're like, hey, Michael, go for it. I'll stick back here and play patty cake with my other lower level angels. Hallelujah. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Why would, you don't think Michael, the archangel, he's the angel of war. Does anybody know this? He's the one who set over war. You don't think he could have taken out any demon? Okay? If we just follow regular Christian theology here, which I don't normally do, I'm just putting this out here for people to get a grasp on. They say that Satan was the lead worshiper angel. We've all heard this before, right? You're going to put the lead worshiper angel up against Michael, the warrior angel? God designed him for that purpose. Michael's built for war. Lucifer was built to play the harpsichord. Which one's going to win? Why didn't he just kick his, behind? Why didn't he? Authority and structure. He probably wanted to. He's probably getting really angry. You're going to argue with me. I'm the warrior angel. You're going to argue with me over the body of Moses. Don't make me come over there. He was in a dispute with him over the body of Moses, and he said, the Lord rebuke you. He's still subject to authority. Why do angels do things? Why don't they do things? It's because if they're not in authority, they can't do it. This is why we have people in the body of Christ that don't have these things happening. It's because they're outside of the authority and the angels can't do it. Brother, what does this have to do with authority? Because the angels are under you. You are set under authority having servants under you. The servants won't obey you if you aren't set in the right authority. How many of you want the angels to obey you? Are they going to obey you if you're just doing your own thing? Floating your own way? We give not nearly enough credit. And I believe me, we're not worshiping angels here. But there are so many things going on. The Bible says they're the ones that are reaping the souls. He sent forth the reapers, and the reapers were the angels. Is this too deep, people? Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 10. Can't be too deep. Why was the woman supposed to be in subjection to her husband? Because of the angels. It's because of the angels. It's like he could have put dead at the end of that. But everybody is dead.
Angels? I thought they passed away with the apostles.
The gifts of the Spirit, they all passed away. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. This is an angel speaking to Daniel. Fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself. Chasten thyself, people. Daniel set himself to understand, and he submitted himself. He could put that in there. He's submitting himself to understanding. Was God forcing him to do this? Could God come up and say, you will fast. Matter of fact, I'm going to seal up your mouth. Except for a little straw hole. You can't eat any food. You can just drink liquid through the straw for 40 days and 40 nights. No. He submitted himself. He's submitting himself to understand. Do we see that? Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Who came for his words? The angel came for his words because he was submitting himself. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. That's 21. But lo, Michael, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. And I am now here to make thee understand. Why did it take 21 days? And people have said this before. I'm telling you why. It took Daniel that much submitting himself and getting under the right authority. Angels can't do anything without authority. They can't even resist without authority. That's why demons flee. That's why angels do everything that they do, because they're under authority. Look at this. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. Could he do that? If this was an angelic being, could he withstand 1 and 20 days, 21 days, if he didn't have authority to do so? He couldn't. The answer would have just been there right like that. But we have demons. Guys still here? We have demons, we have principalities, we have powers, we have angels. They all operate under different authorities. And they can only do in your life what you've given them authority and power to do. And until Daniel submitted himself, he couldn't have that answer come through. And so until you submit yourself to the way God has you submit yourself, there's still other authorities out there keeping whatever it is bothering you. Is this making sense to anybody? The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, but lo, Michael. One of the chief princes came to my help, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Glory be to God. Quickly go with me. 1 Corinthians 6:3, and we do know that angels get their authority through words and through people that are over them. And we're going to see who's over the angels. Demons have no authority. Where did the devil get his authority from? In the garden. Who gave it to him? Adam turned his authority over to the devil. He wouldn't have any if it wasn't for Adam. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 3. Why are we doing this, people? It's because I desire to see a people functioning correctly in the body of Christ where we can have the authority that God wants to give us in the earth today. Do you believe that? Do we believe we're supposed to be a little weak, wimpy church hiding out in a cave, storing up 3 months of water?
No.
No. Who can stand against the authority and power of Almighty God? No one. But why do we have so much things standing against it? Because they can. Because the authority is not over them. And if we're to just teach the authority of the believer, yes, you have power over all the power of the enemy. Yes, you have power. And we're ignoring all of the other things about submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The emphasis is on submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Yeah, when you're in complete submission to God. That's why the disciples said, why could we not cast him out? Jesus said, this kind comes not out without fasting and prayer. Complete submission to God. When we're completely submitted to him and his kingdom and his structure, then our authority is not even a question anymore. Remember the demon said, Paul, I know, Jesus, I know, but who are you? I don't have to obey you. So where's the key? Proper submission. Hallelujah. Even remember Michael did that. He said the Lord rebuke you. Left it at that. Know you not that we shall judge the angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? We shall judge the angels. What are you going to judge the angels over?
How good they look.
Oh, that angel's pretty.
Oh, that one's ugly.
Boo.
Who's judging what? What do judges do? They're obviously in authority over them, aren't they? Glory be to God, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. I don't know, brother. It sounds like you're way out there. No, I'm way in here. Come on in. The water's fine. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. Talking about the angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Who is an heir of salvation? That's you. All of the angels have been sent forth to minister for you. Remember what the centurion said, and Jesus said about him, I found a man, no one has as much faith as this man. Someone who understands authority. He said, I am a man set under authority, having servants under me. You are someone who's supposed to be set in authority, and you have servants under you. What servants? Do these servants, the angels, you understand that, right? What servants are we talking about?
My lawn boy.
No. You're talking about the angels. They're your servants. It's not the devil at this point. Hopefully we'll get into that. Now, if you are in proper alignment of the authority that's over you, this is why I said, women submit to your husbands as unto the Lord because of the angels. If you're in proper alignment, then the angels can do what you tell them to do and will. Do you think they have any problem at that point getting rid of the devil?
No.
The emphasis isn't on the devil. It's on the submitting to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee. He has to, because the administration of angels will make them do so. This was the problem with Daniel in the 21 days. Everybody goes, why did it take 21 days? Because of a lack of authority. They could not get through. You people still here? I'm telling you, this is a deep revy.
A deep revy, bro.
Yeah, it is. But it is why God is having us get in alignment under authority and doing things the right way. And the number one thing that we need to be in alignment is with what? The Word. And this is in the Word. I don't know if I showed you that. We'll have to go through the whole thing again. It's in the Word. And if we're submitting ourselves to the Word, which is the ultimate authority, and the Holy Spirit, he will be able to increase and increase and increase, and we will be ready to take the world over like we're supposed to. Or are we just going to do it our own way? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heir of salvation? Those are angels. Go over to chapter 12 of Hebrews 22.
I just don't see what this has to do with authority.
Then you're missing it. What are you in authority over?
Everybody, all the people.
No, you're in authority over angels. Have you seen that so far? They're sent to be ministers for you. They excel in power, hearkening to the voice of God's word, but they won't minister for you or to you until you're in subjection and submission to the way the word says that you're supposed to be because of the angels. Are we seeing this?
Yes, brother. Get on with it.
All right. But you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. You will come someday, or you have come. You are come. This is where you are. An innumerable company of angels. What can resist that? I didn't take you to that scripture, but we know the angels have power and ability to do things, don't they? They have the ability to make people win wars. You think the war over in the Middle East would have been so hard if the United States was in submission to God and the angels could have got involved in it? It wouldn't have taken this long. But is the United States in complete submission to God? We wish. Goodness. When Israel was in submission to God, and they got all the idols out, and they were doing what God told them, they would just sometimes walk into a place, and the enemy would just disappear. They're like, what happened? The angels went in and cleaned them out before they got there. And they're like, huh, look, there's food prepared for me. I think I'll just go into this tent and take all their gold. Maybe I'll just move in here for a while. It was the angels. But they were in submission to God at that time, weren't they? You think there's benefit for you individually? The Bible says that. What? All the things written were written for our benefit. Those things that happened to the nation of Israel can happen to you in your lifetime when you're in submission to the things of God. Why? Because then the angels can just do what they're supposed to do. They can't function outside of authority, neither can you.
But we as Americans, we want to just do anything we want to do. I can watch any one of 575 channels anytime I want.
But we think that in the United States, we think we can do anything we want, you know? Authority. Do they think that in China? See, now you are preaching communism, brother. No, I'm not. But in China, they know because of the authority over them. Well, you know, if they say I got to go sweep the streets, guess what I'm doing today? I'm sweeping the streets. In the kingdom of God, is God doing it to be a lord over you? No, he's doing it for your benefit.
Yes,
for your benefit.
Yes,
hallelujah. Why does he want you to submit and subject yourself to the anointings of people that are over? For your benefit, so you can increase by it.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God forever. You are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable company of angels. And what are they there for? They're there to minister for those who are to inherit salvation or who are inheriting right now. They're to minister for you, an innumerable company.
Hallelujah.
Well, everybody just gets three.
No.
No, Jesus, did Jesus not say this? He said, if I wanted to call a legion of angels now to get me off the Christ cross, I could. Why didn't he? Because he was submitted to the will of the Father. He'd already made up that decision in the Garden of Gethsemane that he wasn't going to do it. He submitted his will. Jesus, our Lord, submitted what he wanted to do to the will of the Father.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God forever. Ephesians 3:10. Everybody say, because of the angels. I think the angels are laughing right now. They're like, go, brother. It's about time we're going to get to do something with these people. They've been sitting around an innumerable company.
Hallelujah.
They must just be sitting around sucking their thumbs or something. Nothing else to do.
I'm a war angel and I can't go and get anybody. I can't beat anybody up. I'm designed to beat people up. I'm designed to beat up devils.
Financial angels walk around with that little brim on. you know, with the green light. But they can't get into your finances unless you let them. Right? By doing what? How do you think the angels are going to get involved in your finances? When you submit to the authority of God's word, doing with your finances what he tells you to do, what is the result? The angels. It's because of the angels. Let the wheeling dealing angels come up and do something. Hee ha ha ha. Jesus is Lord. I preached myself happy. That's what Hagin says. He says, I think I'll preach myself happy. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3:10. 1 Peter 3:22. And I'm almost done. Who, Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. What was being, when Jesus went into heaven and sat at the right hand of God, what was made subject to him? Angels. And authorities and powers. Did God qualify him here? He put them all in the same lump categories. Do you know what fallen angels are? That's what the demons are. Are they still subject to authority? Absolutely. They were made subject to Jesus as he was sat on the right hand of the Father. Angels being made subject to him. Submission to him. Ephesians 3, verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by what? The church, the manifold wisdom of God. So Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, right? Angels, principalities, powers, all those things being made subject unto him, to the intent that by the church, look at this, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. What is to make these known? What is the wisdom of God? It's the church. What's the church submitted to? The head. The lordship of Jesus. The church is his body. What if his body isn't doing what it's supposed to do? It's out of order. What if your head wanted to go that way and your body wants to go the other way? People would think it's just weird. You got a problem. Need to get that taken care of. That's what the body of Christ is like. He's got the head, he's got order, he's got structure, he's seated in the heavenly places. Authorities, angels, powers are all subject unto him in order, rank, and file. And we've got the church outside of that order trying to have dominion over things when they're out of order. When the key is just to get back into order, submit themselves to the word and the way the word does things, and then all those things underneath snap in line. They have no choice. Did Jesus have a problem casting that demon out of the child? That the other disciples were like, we don't know why we can't cast him out. Hand me another egg roll. They didn't know why, but they weren't submitted to the things of God. They had somehow slipped away. And Jesus said, it's by prayer and fasting. Are you telling me to pray and fast? Yes. Pray and fast. Keep yourself submitted. Telling you, you don't have as much problem submitting, do you, when you're fasting? Why? Because your pride level just sort of shuts down. You're like, I don't have enough strength to be prideful anymore. Normally I'd stand up and defend myself, but right now I'd, you know, so okay, whatever you say. Lovey. Hallelujah. Did you see that? To the intent. So what's the intent here? That the principalities, powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. One last one, James 4 and 7. Because of the angels. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Why? You should know why now. Why will the devil flee from you? He has no choice. If you are in submit. Why did he put it in this order? Why didn't he just say, resist the devil? Resist the devil. And I hear people say this all the time. Resist the devil and he will flee. Resist the devil and he will flee. Resist, 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 resist. How are you supposed to do that? Make a funny look on your face and clench your fists? I'm resisting him. Submit. The command here is to submit yourself to God. Resist it. If he's not fleeing, what are you going to do? Concentrate on resisting? No, concentrate on the submitting. Submitting. Keep submitting to God. Submit to God some more. Maybe that does require a little fasting and praying. What are you doing when you're fasting and praying? You're submitting to God. You're bringing your mind and your will and your emotions and your body into subjection to the Spirit of God. And when you see these supposed to submit to other powers in the body of Christ, do that too. Do it all. Why? Because then the devil will flee. That's a promise right there. If you do your job in submitting to God, the devil has to flee when you resist him. And why is it? It's because of the authority that you're submitted to. It's not just your authority. Where does the authority of the believer come in? It doesn't come just because you're a believer. It comes in because of the authority that's over you. Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. The full weight of the kingdom. No wonder the devil flees. The Bible says it flees as if in terror. They flee as if in terror. They're terrified by what? You? No, the kingdom. You're in the authority and power of the kingdom. Well, no wonder they're scared of you. Because you got all the angels sitting there tapping their toe looking at them. He said, go. I gotta go. Devil should be scared of you. Why? Just because of you? No, because of the weight and authority of the kingdom on you. You're marked. You're marked with the kingdom. You're in alignment with the kingdom fully and completely. Watch out. Don't think we'll have revival breaking out? Absolutely. God gets his kingdom in line, his house in order. Everybody say in order. In order. If we can do this, and do I know it all? No, I don't know. I know nothing. That's a good place to be. Why? Because you can learn more. You can say, God, I don't know anything. You're the teacher. Teach me. And then you start to see. He starts to teach you. And let's pray that right now. We're going to ask God to reveal to us how to submit ourselves to his kingdom and to his word and his authorities so we can have his glory fill this earth. Father, in Jesus' name, right now we pray and we ask you for revelation. We ask you for the spirit of grace. We humble ourselves and we submit ourselves to your word and your spirit and your glory. We desire to be a church that is in proper alignment with your authority in your kingdom so that when we resist the devil, he immediately flees. And so you can fill this earth with your glory and we can stand properly and correctly in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
When shall we know? I want to know the Lord, then shall we grow as we sow and reap from him.
This message has been brought to you free of charge by the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society. More messages are available online at www.holyghostsociety.org.